Hello and welcome back to Aliens, UFOs, and Ghost Stories. I'm your host, Jake, and today I'm lucky enough to be joined by Mary. Is it Bassett?
Bassett, yes.
Bassett. Okay, I wasn't sure if it was Bassett or Bassett. I've heard. I could have swore on somebody's interview they pronounced it Bassett.
They probably have. Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to. I think about three of them. But yeah, a little bit about Mary. She's also known as Mama Mary. She's a professional channeler and psychic medium. She is also a professional hypnotherapist or regressionist that works with ET experiencers as well as MUFON. In fact, if I can interject really quick on the bio, Bill, the head of MUFON for the state of Michigan, actually recommended you for my regression. So I may be, having to talk to you off air about that. She has been reading professionally for over 10 years and travels all over for psychic fairs, special Paracon events, speaking events, and home parties doing gallery readings, speaking and giving channeled psychic readings. She has a direct connect with spiritual energies, entities, loved ones, and interdimensional beings within the spiritual realm. She connects through channeling and automatic writing. She's been doing regression work for over a year now, and she has done close to 100 regressions. That's incredible. She has studied the quantum healing method of regression as well as studied with the infamous regressionist, is it Yvonne Smith?
Yes.
I've seen it in writing. I reached out to her, but I can never remember. It's kind of an intimidating name to say. She dedicates her time in assisting others on their path of self-discovery, their path of healing, and their spiritual journey through channeled mediumship readings, energy work, and hypnosis regressions. She dedicates her time in guiding others into a deeper understanding and knowledge of their spiritual journey and purpose, so that they might see their true light. That's beautiful, Mary. So,
Thank you.
So is it still only been slightly over a year that you've been?
Oh, it's been close to 2 years now.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah. I started getting the idea back in 2021, probably right around August. I started reading Dolores Cannon's book. Very fascinating. If you've never heard of them, check them out. I like the just the basic regressions, but when I started reading the ones about ET, that's really what struck my interest. And I started looking into her classes, but the classes are close to $1,500, and I was just like, I can't justify spending that much money on one class. And then right after that, I had like 5 different people approached me, asked me if I did regression work because they were really interested. And I kept on getting people to ask me. So at that point I was like, okay, I'm listening to the universe. And I did an event one weekend. And I brought home almost $2,000. So that was my sign. So I took that and bought the class.
Oh, wow.
And then probably, right after I finished the class, Bill Konkoleski approached me and asked me if I'd be willing to do regression for work for MUFON. And of course I said, yeah, because that was the whole point of me doing it in the first place, was I wanted to work with the ET experiencers.
That's awesome. Yeah. Bill spoke extremely highly of you, of course. In fact, Bill K, he's the guy who came on last week. He's the head of MUFON for the state of Michigan. So it's pretty impressive. There's only 52 of them in the U.S., of course. And I'm pretty sure, did he say that you're really the only person that they recommend for regression for the state of Michigan?
Yes.
That's insane. Yep. That's a huge, that should tell you guys, if you're from the state of Michigan, I know we have a lot of Michiganders listening. And if you feel that you're an experiencer and would like to be regressed, I mean, it's not for everybody, but I'm an experiencer. After this weekend on Saturday, there's no other way around it. But yeah, when I am ready to be regressed, we'll talk about that off air, of course. But I think I'll be making a trip out your way. So.
Yeah. And I do regression work reasonably well. A lot of people charge $200-$300 for the regression work. I ask just for like $100 donation. And if people can't afford that, I just ask for a donation, because the real goal is to actually just help people get their answers, especially when they have things that have happened that are unexplained. Mm. I'm more concerned about them finding closure and finding answers versus the money that I'm going to bring in from it.
Oh, that's really kind of you. Yeah, it's, I mean, with the exception of just starting the Patreon, I mean, we've never made a dime from the show. And that's what I told them, you know, just, you know, whatever you guys can afford. If it's a dollar, it's a dollar. You know, I know people are tight. And if you really love the show, whatever you guys want it to be, you know. So, you know, really quick, Mary, if you don't mind, I just want to say thank you to a couple. Let's see. Jim T. from Montana. Thank you for your donation. $5. Very kind of you. And let's see. Jessica B. from Ohio. She says, I think you're doing great. And wow. Okay. That was really nice. Thank you. And then last one. How about Timothy T. from Arkansas. And very nice. I really appreciate that, guys. And he wrote that he wants to know more about the owls, and we'll speak about that another time. In fact, I think our next Patreon is entirely to do with that night, Saturday night. So I guess let's get right in it. Do you mind if I ask you your opinion on something really quick?
Of course. Go ahead.
So during that Saturday, I have this intense, incredibly intense connection with owls. So much so that I'll say this quickly. I'll lay it out quickly. Friday, I started to rescue an owl. I drove out to Allen Park. It's right next to Detroit. I picked up an owl. I rehabbed it. I tried to call anybody I could, Howell Nature Center, two owl sanctuaries in Michigan. Nobody would take it because of the avian flu or something. So I just decided to do my best at home. I was giving it mice and chipmunks and stuff like that. And that was Friday. Saturday, I go to my very first CE5. And when we started the meditation, my intention that I only shared with my sister, or my friend, I should say, right next to me. And I basically said, hey, you know, I'm going to ask for an owl to either fly over us or, you know, be in the wood line and make a lot of noise. So if that happens, you got to back me up so these people don't think I'm insane, you know. So I told her, we go into a meditative state. After doing some, you know, shamanic chants, was that sound bath? Is that what that's called?
Mm-hmm.
A sound bath. We did, you know, burning incense. I can never, is it how it's pronounced? Incense?
Oh, sage.
Sage. Yeah. And, you know, I had my head back. My eyes were closed the whole entire time. I'm not sure why I had it back. I guess just to relax. But I was, you know, getting emotional. I was crying. And I don't know if you've ever cried on your back or with your head back, but the tears will actually go inside your ears. It's a very strange sensation. I didn't like it. So I wiped my face really quick, and I still had my eye to the sky. I'm wiping. I'm trying to look at the stars, and I'm wiping the tears out of my ears. And, dude, an owl flew like 12 to 15 feet right above my head. About out of the 30 of us, I'd say like 8 or 10 saw it. And you know, after they go, all right, does anybody want to share anything? And I was like, did anybody see that owl? You know, and a bunch of people did. And my sister said, I swear to God, he just asked that to happen. And it did. And then Sunday, of course, I go home. I'm trying to clean the owl. I named it Adomi, which is, our listeners know what that means, but Adomi. And then on Sunday, I was cleaning his cage. And I leave the door open every night, hoping it'll fly away. So it actually came out of its cage this time, and then thankfully flew away, and he was happy and healthy and free. So that's good. But I was curious in another thing, like I can meditate, and, you know, for confirmation, I'll ask if I can hear them or see them, and then I see them or hear them, even if they're not there, by the way. A couple times that's happened where there, it sounds like that's 10 feet from you and you don't. You can't, because it's not there. So what's your opinion on that, I guess?
Well, owls in general are very spiritual creatures. So I would say that an owl is an animal totem for you. It's a spirit guide. Mm. Like for me, bears, foxes, deer, and definitely ravens and crows are spirit totems for me. And so when I see those, they provide a certain message. So I would look up when you have a chance with the spiritual meaning of an owl is for you. Because it gives you certain powers, right? But when it comes to ET, the owl is one of the most typical overlays that ET will use for you to be able to communicate and connect with them. Because a lot of people, they don't want to see ET, or something happens and that memory is going to be erased. So ET gives that overlay of you seeing an animal, specifically an owl, where you remember that versus the actual experience. I did a regression on a gentleman who had the memory of when he was a young boy, he got up and go to the bathroom and he saw a huge owl in the window. And when we went through the regression, it ended up being an ET that had been through, you know, been with him his whole life, connecting with him. But when he was young, he showed himself as an owl to take away the fear aspect. So all around, owls are very spiritual creatures that have a lot of different meanings for us, a lot of different meanings. Have you ever looked up the spiritual meaning of an owl?
Yeah, sure.
What does it mean for you?
What does it mean to me? Like, how do I perceive it?
Yeah, for you, yeah.
For me, as messengers, typically. I've had, I can't keep, because next week is Mike Cleland. Do you know Mike Cleland?
It sounds familiar.
He's essentially, in my opinion, the most knowledgeable person on owls and the relationship to ET. He wrote a book called, and I strongly recommend you guys go get this. It's Owls, UFOs, and Synchronicities. And the synchronicities, I cannot even begin. It's, to be perfectly honest, I was never somebody who goes, hey, it's 11:11. You know, like, isn't that cool? Or it's 3:33. I was like, I guess, you know. But like, the synchronicities just around the owl alone, Mary. And again, we got to get off me. I just wanted your opinion on this, but like, so I'm not making this up. I'll put pictures in the show notes just so you guys believe me. On September 28th of 2023, this was not very long ago, right? I go to physically pick up this owl and I put it in a cage. I got it home. I started rehabbing it. That's September 28th of 2023. That morning on my Facebook, before I even knew about the owl, or, you know, before I ever decided I was going to help it, because I actually called the day before Thursday and I told them I wasn't able to help them. And then, you know how Facebook has that, here's a memory from 5 years ago, here's a picture you posted. It says, here's a memory from 11 years ago, September 28th, 2012, exactly 11 years ago to the day. It was a picture of me holding an owl at a Renaissance festival, which I never did. So then the same exact day, 11 years apart from when I actually pick up another owl. And then the day that it flew away, so what was that? The 28th was Friday, 29th was Saturday. Sunday must have been the 30th. I release it. Thank God it flew away. My mom sent me a photo because I posted on Facebook, like, thank God it flew away. She goes, dude, this is getting weird. And then she took a screenshot of September 30th, 2016. I sent her a video about an owl. Like, that's impossible. You know what I mean?
Also, think about the pattern. Can you remember anything that you're going through in 2012 and 2016 that's similar to what you're going through right now?
Well, 2012... I was relatively healthy. I'm bipolar. I have something called bipolar 1, which unfortunately it's the worst of them, of the three. I'm fully medicated now. I'm sure you can tell I'm pretty normal right now. I'm also something that they call a severe manic depressant, just not regular, but severe, which is terrible. I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but you got to be able to laugh at it. And the doctor was like, no, it's severe. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't like how you said that. And he's like, well, you lost 38 pounds in a little over 2 months. So yeah, that's pretty severe. I just stopped eating entirely, but like, I don't mean to laugh at that. I'm just saying, like, kind of lost my train of thought a bit. I apologize. What exactly were we talking about?
Well, the patterns. There's a pattern when it comes like that, that, you know, the synchronicities, you got to pay attention. Mm. So it could just be a reminder of the pattern or the owl lending you strength and wisdom.
Yeah, I've been meaning to look up I'm sure that there's some sort of symbolism behind 11. I don't really know that type of stuff. And I wonder if there's any symbolism with 7. I mean, unless it's 7-Eleven. Like, maybe they want me to go get a Slurpee. I don't know.
Well, 7s are usually about partnerships and connections with other people. And if you're doing numerology, 11 is an actual, like, master number. So you might want to look up what the master number 11 means for you. But if you break that down to a numerology, 1 plus 1 equals 2. And so 2 is all about connection and partnerships as well. So it could be like that reminder, like the connections that you want to make to other people, to the people that are around you, to your family members. Mm. And so when you're striving for that, the outcome's back into play for you to bring back those connections.
Mm. That's very interesting. I did not know that. And then by chance, do you have any Native American ancestors?
You know, I get asked that continuously. I don't know for sure, but my dad has said that in our family bloodline is Geronimo. I remember being a very young age and going out to Oklahoma and visiting his burial site, and my dad going on and on about that, but that's not anything. I've never done my genealogy in those kind of terms, so I don't know for sure. But I do get asked that often. And just like at the very beginning of my spirituality, that was a strong pull for me, was the Native American. The cards I read from are all Native American.
Mm. Yeah, the reason I ask, I'll say it briefly, and then I'd like to specifically focus on you. I've been racking my brain every single day trying to make sense of this. But the second meditation that night, I'll say it quickly, was, so, you know, I got the first one, I was like, okay, cool. The owl, it came through. Everybody knows I'm not a loon now. The second one, I didn't have an intention. I didn't tell anybody. And this wasn't like, you know, there's this big 30-foot circle with, you know, 28 people. And they're like, what's your intention? What's your intention? You know, but I just decided in my head last moment, because Kimberly Marie, she had this really cool looking drum thing. I don't know what it was called, but she was doing it like above my head on each one of my ears and front of my face, behind my face. And during this meditation, because of that kind of drummy thing, it almost reminded me of, because I'm 1/16th Cherokee, my dad's 1/8, and so on and so forth. And I'm not somebody who like walks around telling people I'm an Indian or anything like that. You know, you can kind of tell it from my complexion if we were outside, I suppose. Like, I'm slightly darker than, say, my wife, who's Scandinavian. And so my intention last minute was like, hey, I already, you know, saw Adomi, the owl, or whatever, not the physical owl that I had in my house, but I just refer to a lot of owls as Adomi, or just owls in general. Where am I getting that? I'm so sorry. Oh, so last minute in my head, of course, telepathically, I said, hey, if there's any of my Native American ancestors here with me, you know, please join us. Join us in this meditation. Let us hear your music, your drums, your chanting, just, you know, be here with us. And my eyes were shut the whole entire time. Again, I was emotional, crying. I'm not somebody who cries a lot, but that meditation was just really got me for some reason. It was really powerful. And, you know, I heard drumming, not for very long, but it sounded like Native American drumming to me. And then the first thing I said is like, she's like, anybody have anything to share? I was the first one up again. I was like, do you guys hear that drumming? And about, I'd say 1/3 of them did. It was very obvious. I mean, it was like 700-800 yards to my right. It sounded like it was in the wood line almost. And then the next guy who shared was sitting directly across from me. His name was Al. He's a Peruvian. And he goes, I have something to share. And everybody's like, okay. And, you know, no offense, Al, if you ever heard this, it was a lofty claim. He said, so me and my sister were our friend. Man, that's going to be a lot of edits in this one. Me and my friend next to each other. And, 110 yards behind us was a wood line. But he said, when I opened my eyes behind you, and he pointed directly at me, I'm like, he's like, there was a cylindrical craft right up against the wood line. He claims two Palladians came out, specifically Palladians, a female and a male. And at this point, I'm like, I don't know, you know, and then, you know, everybody's eyes were closed. So Kimberly Marie said she saw it too. And so, I mean, if she said it, then I believe her. She says it wasn't physically there. I don't have that ability to see stuff that's not. I don't think I do, with the exception of like a ghost, I suppose. But like, and I was like, well, what'd they say? Because I'm kind of like politely like trying to pick his brain. Like, you know, did they come over? He's like, nope, they didn't say anything. I'm like, telepathically? He's like, nope. I'm like, what did they do? Did they approach the circle? He's like, no, they just stood next to the craft. I was like, okay. And then he goes, and then what was even odder was there was about 40 Native Americans on the outside of the circle, about 10 feet away from the circle. And they were wearing beautiful headdresses. And at this point, I try not to swear. I say, what the F? Like out loud. I'm like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. And Kimberly Marie said she saw them too. She didn't see the beings, but she saw the craft. Maybe she was just more focused on American Indians everywhere. But I mean, that's a complete impossibility. You know, it's just.
Gotta pay attention to the synchronicity.
Yeah, it's just he didn't know that I asked for that. And according to both of them, it took place. So both intentions that I put out in those two meditations both happened. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, I believe it. I believe them. But it just, I didn't even think I had a connection with the Palladians. I was told that our lineage, specifically on my father's side, who's Native, were tall whites and fully biological grays. So the Palladians, that just kind of threw me. And when he said it, I was like, I don't think Palladians are really interested in us. So with you getting that a lot, people maybe assuming that you might be Native Americans, maybe because of your cards or just maybe your methods. What significance do Indians seem to have with our star brothers and sisters?
Well, I think it goes way back. You know, I think way back when there's nobody else around, that's when you're going to see them the most, right? Mm. And I just think being the spiritual beings and the higher vibrational wise, that the ET that is there to raise our consciousness and raise our vibration, they're naturally going to connect. Because when you're already in that state, then that vibration, they're going to connect with those who channel easier and meditate easier and have that higher vibrational rate because they can reach them in peace without coming at people who might want to war with them. And because it's all about that spiritual evolution, about us raising our vibration so we can at some point reach the 5D level. And that's where, you know, I've always loved Native American because it's more spiritual and connecting to Mother Earth and taking care of Mother Earth and less physical and less material and more spiritual. That's my connection with that. And you know, just like Egyptian times, you know, if you do research for ET sightings, it goes back a very long, long way of records of people claiming that they've seen craft, especially in Egyptian times. That's where I always feel like, you know, the city of Atlantis was a real thing. And ET was creating the civilization and giving them the spiritual knowledge. And when they took it too far, Atlantis ended. The survivors went to Egypt. And then that's where you get your ancient Egypt and you get those encryptions on their walls of ETs and craft. It's because they carried on to there and started teaching it again. And eventually they just lost all that spiritual information. We had to start all over again. But it's the same theory where it's that higher spiritual vibration, the higher spiritual beliefs, just like Native American, just doing it in a different way.
That's really fascinating, Mara. That's never occurred to me. I never even thought about where they would have gone after. That's really fascinating. Not to put you on the spot, I know that you're good at picking up people's energy, I'm sure. I'd imagine that you're probably most of the Clairs, if not all of them. When you hear the word Adomi, does anything come to mind at all?
To me personally, no. It sounds more of like a spiritual name to you. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about Native American. What does it mean for you?
Well, I've only, the first telepathic thought voice I've ever had was I was in a very depressed state. I was, you know, suicidal and getting ready to act it out. And it was like a last ditch effort of basically like, you know, if there's anybody who can hear me, because I don't necessarily believe in God as much as it makes me sound like a hippie. I just believe in love in general. I really do. You know, I think God is love, but like, I was basically saying like, what is my purpose here? You know, why am I here at all? And then I was like, who am I? And then immediately after the who am I, it was Adomi, you know. And later on, we brought this psychic medium on. Her name is Diana Calamia, beautiful soul, super smart, really kind. And we were just bringing her on just, you know, kind of like, what's it like to be a psychic? Like, what's the day-to-day like? We weren't necessarily looking for a reading. And then she kept saying, I keep seeing something right here. And she's like, it's kind of like an orb, and it's undulating, if I'm saying that right. And it's kind of like a soft purple. I'm like, okay. You know, and I was like, what do you think it is? And she goes, well, it's somebody you lived a past life with in Jerusalem before the time of the pharaohs. And you were simple people. And this person was with you during that time. That time it could have been a male or a female, but where's this? And then I found out later that Adomi is an Egyptian word. It's a singular form of the Edomite. The Edomites were these people who were kicked out of Jerusalem for worshiping a false god. So I wonder if that's just a spirit guide of mine, and if Adomi, or if I'm Adomi, or if we were both Adomi Edomites, I wonder if that's that either woman or man that I had that past life with who is just saying, yes, I'm here, you know, and shows itself as an owl. Maybe that's the odd connection. I'm not sure.
I would go more so towards a spirit guide. And that's why you're naturally drawn to them. Like when I was saying before, you know, look to owls to be a spirit guide or a totem animal or a power animal. That's your guidance, and that's why it came when you needed it the most, was to remind you of your connection to the people around you in the human race.
That's fascinating. Well, I really do appreciate your opinions, Mary. I know that you've been in this for a long time, and I just wanted to see what you thought about that. So when did you realize that you had the ability, that you had more, they were more clairvoyant, say, than an average person?
Well, I've always kind of been into it. When I was growing up, I would see spirit all the time, but never really realized what it was. My family wasn't overly spiritual. They weren't overly religious either. But I always heard and saw more than other people did. I just didn't really recognize it for what it was. Around the age of 16, my mom took me to my first psychic fair. And that's actually where she got me the tarot deck that I use now. And I remember going to that fair. My mom wanted me to get a reading, and I wouldn't get it because I didn't want her to know all the stuff that I was up to at the age of 16. I didn't want the psychic telling on me. But I started reading with that deck and started realizing, oh, this is a real thing. And when I would read for other people, it would be extremely accurate. And then, like in my early 20s, I got away from it, and then my early 30s, my grandmother passed away. So I really started delving into life after death and what death actually meant and what actually happens to us when we pass on. And I started taking psychic development classes. I got my first couple of readings, and all those readings said, you know, they all told me, you have a really powerful gift. It's going to be up to you whether you decide to use it or not in this lifetime. So I continued to develop. and then started doing readings online and doing readings for stores, and then continued the meditation and developing my skill and evolving it in the way that I do, to the point from reading with tarot to actually just channeling and automatic writing. So it's always been there. Some people don't get away from it. Some people, like me, you go through that phase where you're worried about what other people are going to think, what other people are going to say. So you shut it off. And then I decided to open it up. And luckily, the husband that I have now, he encouraged me to continue to open it up. And because of that, I'm allowed to use it for other people to help them.
No, that's really cool. Support is everything. I mean, you know, I'm just lucky, really. I mean, I've always heard, like, how often, you know, you'll have a woman who is a contactee, and they don't seem to be interested in the husband whatsoever. And then the guy thinks she's nuts, and he, you know, they file for divorce. It happens all the time. I feel like it happens more often with men. Like, women are a little bit more forgiving, almost. Like, you know, yeah, he's, you know, he's a hardworking guy. I mean, he does believe in aliens, but besides that, you know, he's great. But I've heard also, too, of, like, just women, you know, and I kind of get it, too. Like, my wife is just super, I think she believes me. She knows I'm not just, like, a bullshit artist. Excuse my French, but, like, and I just wouldn't lie about something. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you guys are listening to this and you guys aren't experiencers or contactees or whatever it may be, why would somebody, you know, I've brought on doctors. I brought on a doctor who lost everything. Lost everything. Just like John Mack, in a sense. I mean, John E. Mack, when he was a Harvard professor, and he wasn't well respected at all after what he did. You know, he wrote a book called Abduction. And he set off as somebody who's just trying to understand it. So he kept interviewing all these people. And then, so he went in as a skeptic. And then by the end, he goes, no, this is something here. I mean, these guys are not delusional. They're mostly intelligent. They're mostly kind. I'm not saying I'm super intelligent, but I am a very kind person. I'm not sure why, but they seem to like kinder people more. I mean, I would imagine maybe they vibrate slightly higher, I would assume, than, say, like a hyper negative person. But, you know, if you're listening to this and you're either dating a girl or married to a woman who's claiming all these things, you know, you may consider hearing them out, you know. And my wife, you know, when I was going to tell her, like, hey, I'm going to go do the C5 thing, I wasn't sure how she'd handle it, but she was great. You know, she's like, have a good time. You know, I hope you guys experience something. And then, so, yeah, she was really supportive. So that does help a lot. So I'm glad that you have that also.
Yep, support is everything. You need support in order to find yourself. And I think, you know, having an ET experience is life-changing. Mm-hmm. And it can break up marriages. Because if you've had an experience, especially if you feel like it's traumatic and your partner isn't accepting of it, or they down you for it, or they judge you for it, and you're not allowed to explore what actually happened, it can break a person. Yeah. Not having somebody to talk to about it, that can break somebody. And I think that's what's so important with people, you know, like Bill Konkoleski, he's there to listen. So if you've had an experience, no matter how weird it sounds, I can guarantee it doesn't sound weird to him. Having somebody to listen to you is everything, everything.
Mm. Yeah, it really is. And then, so by the time you guys hear this, because Bill was our last guest, so by the time you're hearing this, of course, if you're curious to learn more about Bill, absolutely incredible guy, super nice, very just like Mary, very willing to help and educate our listeners, which is amazing. Thank you again. But his experience, good Lord, I mean, one of the most interesting ones I've ever heard. And it was so fascinating to me, specifically how they seemed, you know, there's, I think, at least four boys in his family. I'm pretty sure it was four. And of the four, I want to say it was two, him and one of his brothers, of course, who had all sorts of experience. And then the other two, just like nothing at all, which is odd. Like, you know, I don't want to speak for my family, so I gotta be careful here. But it's me. It's me who's had a lot of experience. There's one other sister, can't say which one, but it seems to be only the two of us out of five kids, right? One boy and four girls. Yeah, five kids. So I always thought that I was like over emotional, or sensitive, not psychically, but just sensitive as a man, because I had all these four sisters. And maybe, you know, that makes me more emotional somehow. I don't know. But I'm also, not to sound like a jerk, but like back in the day, I fought a lot. I mean, we grew up in Detroit, you know, so like you had to. But like, and then over time, I realized that I was psychically sensitive. You know, I can't read anybody's mind, you know, not at all. I can always tell somebody's intentions, though. Always. You know, I used to think it was because I was born in Detroit. I would go to like, you know, New Orleans, Chicago, Vegas even has some rough areas. Flint, you know, I could just pick up like, ooh, that's not good over there, you know. And when people are incredibly kind like yourself, it's easy to pick up on, you know. For women, it's almost like an aura for me. I don't physically see it. I just feel it, if that makes sense. Like Kathleen Martin, hers is really intense. Deb Schottky, Kimberly Marie. I mean, with women, it's just different. And I'm happily married, but I feel myself drawn to them like a magnet, you know, like I just really want to talk to them. There's another woman named Judy. She's coming on soon. Feel the same way. It's just a really, really good feeling. But yeah, I mean, with the exception of one, what would you call that? I guess, what is it called when somebody gets hurt and you can also kind of feel it and know that something's empath? I think I'm empathic. But psychic, I don't think so. I've had multiple guests say, you're psychic. I'm like, I don't think so. But like, I can't just like look at you and read your mind and tell you what you're thinking, you know?
Well, everybody has psychic gifts. We are meant to be. We're meant to be spiritual beings. One of my favorite sayings is we're not human beings here to live a spiritual experience at all. I mean, everybody has it wrong. That we are spiritual beings that come here to live a human experience so we can grow and evolve. And it's a never-ending cycle. And that's why I do the regression work, even with the past life, because we've been here many, many lifetimes. Mm. And we're all born with those gifts. That's why people talk about their babies all the time, looking into corners and talking and smiling at something that's not there. When we're born, we remember where we came from. Mm. As we get older, we forget about that. We lose our gifts. Mm. Everybody has those gifts. We are meant to, and that's why ET tries to connect with us and make contact. We're meant to communicate telepathically. We're meant to have that higher vibration. We're meant to live in that higher frequency. It's just Earth is such a low vibration, it sucks us down. Mm. And that's why we have ET that works with us and tries to raise our consciousness and raise our vibration so that we can get back to where we came from and remember where we came from.
Mm. That was extremely well said. I've always kind of said that too, but not as elegantly. I would basically say, I have three podcasts, and I work two jobs. So if you see me kind of tired, that's why. I usually get like 4 hours of sleep a day. So, where am I getting at? So I just on my other podcast, it's kind of a comedy based compact, or the one of them is, and I was just basically yelling at my listeners, like not yelling, but like giving them shit, basically, like, you know, if your name is Jim and you're a truck driver, you shouldn't think of your physical body, like who you are as an entity, is that flesh body. You're much more than that. I mean, your consciousness, you know, and it's just basically telling them, like, you guys need to look into collective consciousness, you know, stop thinking of yourselves as your meat bodies. That's not really, really who you are. But I've always known that, like, I believe Dolores Cannon even said something along those lines, essentially that Earth is one of the hardest planes of existence, really. You know, it's very heavy, very dense, I believe she said, and that it's almost like the hardest type of thing you can do as a spiritual being is to just come here. And, you know, there's all these emotions, there's depression, there's, you know, somebody cheats on you, you know, somebody, you know, your house catches on fire. Like, that's a lot, you know?
It is. Well, that's, you know, Earth is a school. So that we can learn to grow and evolve. And sometimes especially if I'm going through a tough lesson, I always try to remind myself that it's a lesson, and that if I learn it, then I don't have to do it again. And then I can grow to the next level and do different things and bigger things with my life. And yeah, I'll keep taking it farther up versus staying stagnant in the same place.
Mm. That's fascinating. This is kind of an off the wall question. If not, we can, you know, if I ask you anything, and this goes to all my guests too, you never have, don't feel obligated to answer anything. If you could do four skips in a row if you wanted to, and it's not that off the wall. It's pretty normal, but do you have any sort of sense that something here on planet Earth or Gaia might change in the next, say, 5 years?
Well, I think we're currently going through a shift now. I think, you know, I always talk about the new Earth and that higher vibration, that higher 5D, and we're already going through it. And that's why there's some people who are more sensitive, feel exhausted. Mother Earth's sick. And you see it with the crazy people out there rioting and stealing and looting and stabbing everybody. It's craziness. And then you see the other extreme where everybody's, you know, switching to that non-gender role. And that's like ET taking over, where if during regression work, you connect with ET, they're neither male or female. You see this divide and everything just shifting and splitting off and separating. And some people are going to stay at that lower vibration, and some people are going to raise to that higher vibration. The shift's happening right now.
Yeah, I believe it is too. I mean, just about every single in the ET world thinks there is. This is something strange, but I started feeling this way. I don't know. Like when I was 14, 15, I really did. I never told anybody. In fact, this might be the only time I've ever told anybody but my one sister. Or maybe like three people tops. But, and I don't mean to sound like an alarmist. I've just always felt this way. I really have. But I always felt like I'm going to be, when something happens, I'm going to be here to experience it. When something big happens, what that is, I don't know if it's going to be, you know, damage. I'm not sure if it's going to be something positive, but I sincerely, before I was even 15 years old, I felt like I'm going to be here when something big happens, when something changes. You know, maybe I'll be the last one of the people who are here, or maybe I'll just be here when something really, really radical happens, you know, and maybe that's that shift in consciousness.
We're all, and that's what it is. We're all shifting to that higher frequency.
Yeah, it's really fascinating.
That's why those who can't handle that vibration, those are the ones who act out and go crazy and riot and stab each other, because they can feel the shift, but their vibration isn't high enough. They don't know how to deal with that energy.
That's a really good point. This just talk about synchronicities. My friend. Jeez, this is gonna be a tough one. Let me see if I can show you this without showing you the other stuff. Yeah. I'm curious to see if you can read this. You probably can't. I mean, anytime you get too close to a camera. I was trying to show my sister a weird mark on my body earlier in the day. I don't want to show that picture. Jeez, Louise. All right. Could you read that by chance at all?
Oh, I can't see it.
Okay. I figured it wouldn't. She said, my friend, we should set up our regression soon, maybe even on the same day. And I'm talking to according to Bill Kay, which obviously I believe, I'm talking to the number one in the state. So that's pretty crazy. So my friend and I, and a man from Colorado, he very well could be flying out, talking, of course, about Skits, the PLK. He makes music specifically about raising your vibrations. It's kind of got like, like an R&B rap type feel, but it's nothing negative whatsoever. If you guys are curious about it, just go to schizomusic.com or even SoundCloud. I think his stuff's on there. But high vibrational, you know, community, taking care of one another and raising your vibration. It's really, really cool. But he sincerely is considering flying out here and staying in Ann Arbor at an Airbnb for the weekend. So just specifically so he can meet you.
Wow, really?
I swear to goodness.
That's weird. Yeah, that's just weird to me to hear that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
I mean, after I talked to Bill, I was like, dude, this is the one, I think, you know, because we've been talking about it since we met like 2-3 years ago. Like, we need to do this. Like, we just haven't had the funds, you know.
Well, yeah. I do it at a fair price so that it's affordable to everybody. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, we'll talk about scheduling that soon. And then Bill said you recording it? With our permission?
I do. I always record it while I'm doing the regression, and then I send a copy home with you guys. That way you can listen back to it at your own time and then process it as you want, because everybody regresses different. Some people go to the hypnosis state where they remember most of it. Some had that sense of getting out of their own way and remembering some of it, and some of them don't remember any at all. And I've had those who, you know, even doing the show, The Voices of Contact, I've used those regressions on the show, and I've had the guy say, I don't remember any of that. And at the time he said, I didn't go very deep. And I said, yes, you did. But he didn't listen to his recording, so he didn't remember any of that. And then after he listened to the show, he went back and listened to the whole recording and remembered all this different stuff that he didn't realize he said. So it just, wow. It depends. The more you meditate, the easier it is, the deeper you'll go. And really, it's so easy. It's just like a glorified guided meditation. And it's just a really good way to get out of your own way. And for like people who are afraid of it, like what they might say or what's going to happen, there really isn't anything to fear, because your subconscious mind will protect you. So if there's something about your experience that you're not ready to hear, that you're not ready for, there's information you're not supposed to have yet, that will get blocked so it doesn't come through if your conscious mind, your conscious body, your physical body isn't ready for it. So you'll know when you're ready, and the subconscious will just let that information flow, because we go through that experience. And then after that, we tap into the subconscious with a bunch of different questions. And that's where you get your real answers. And not only do you go through that experience and find out what happened, you get to ask your subconscious mind, why did it happen? Why did you experience this? What's coming next? What is it about your future that you need to know? What else wants to come through for you? It's really informational, gives you really good closure, and it's really very healing. And you can do a lot of energy work during the subconscious work too, and remove blocks and patterns that don't serve you, that you don't want anymore, that you don't need. It's healing all around in every shape or form. Most people who have had an experience that they can't get past, it always helps them move forward.
That's fascinating. So you're saying that they when you do it, you give them a physical copy of, say, like a tape or recording of some kind?
Yep. I was recording on my computer, but I discovered that using a smaller mic on my phone, because I have the app on my phone, I can record it onto my phone, which gives me the ability to copy a link and just send it to the person. They can download it on their phone.
Fascinating. That certainly would be beneficial for the experiencer, I'm sure. So out of all the races, I'm really, really, really interested in the tall whites. Have you ever seen them during your work through regression or?
They have come through, and it's more so, you know, just descriptions. I've had reptilians come through. I've had grays come through. Palladians come through. The most that I've had come through to actually make contact with me through the person is reptilian and palladian. Those two are prominent. The latest one I'm working with now is reptilian. And you know, even though people have a bad stigma on reptilian, it comes with a very positive message.
Is it okay to share the message, or is that more private?
That's more private. That's the person's to share. If you want to tune into the Voices of Contact this Friday night at 8 p.m. and next Friday, it will actually have that message.
Okay. And we're going to have links to that in the show notes. So if you are enjoying this conversation, Mary is a very kind, intelligent, empathic woman. And again, can you repeat the name of the program?
The Voices of Contact.
The Voices of Contact.
That's the show I do with Bill. He's going to be on this Friday's show and next Friday's. He comes on as a special guest every once in a while. but I take regression work with the permission of some of my clients, and I take clips, and then I have Michael Carter, who's from Ancient Aliens, who you should contact me on this show if you haven't yet, and then Deb Cobble, and then Deb and RJ DeRoos. They do the show with me, and so I play the clips, and they give their feedback on the regression work and what their experiences are compared to what the regressionists' experiences are. And then the audience gets really great feedback of the experience, and so does the experiencer gets even more feedback versus just the regression itself. So all around, it's informative and very healing for everybody.
That's so cool. Yeah, that's amazing. I've only listened to, I believe, two or three now. But it's fantastic. It's really, really well done. And if you guys are interested in our subject matter, then I don't know how you wouldn't like it. I mean, it's nearly impossible. So, but yes, Deb, I love Deb. She is so awesome.
I just love her. Yeah.
And she's funny. She's really funny. She has a great sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
And her story, good Lord, is it fascinating. I mean, obviously, she was it Bud Hopkins, the book?
Yeah.
And the name of that book?
Oh, I forget the name of the book.
I have it sitting like 10 feet from me, but I'm not going to go up and get it. But Bud Hopkins, if you're young or if you're a new listener, or you're just starting to get into this, legendary, legendary author within this field. I mean, probably top 10, easy. I mean, and then Deb, of course, went under an alias, her and her family. I think even the city was an alias of some kind. But if you guys want to learn more about her, you know, if you think my story is interesting with the owls and the Egyptian stuff and Indians, you know, go back and listen to Deb's episode. It's absolutely fantastic, extremely fascinating. So especially with everything to do with the radiation that she was exposed to, that's really interesting, which is, again, a common theme. I think even in Steven Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, I believe Richard Dreyfuss had radiation burns on, like, it almost looked like a tan on one side of his face, if I'm remembering correctly. But more about you. And again, I don't mean to stick on the tall whites. I'm just, I know that you know a lot, and I think my listeners want to know more about the whites or the tall whites. Do you remember any details, any sort of telepathy with them or anything along those lines?
I do not. More so, you know, I've seen visions of tall whites, but that's more just like a vision of my own mind versus working with other people. When I'm doing the regression work, I don't necessarily see the ET with my mind's eye. It more comes through the person who's actually being regressed. They speak to them, and you can tell that by the voices changing. For me, when I think of tall whites, I kind of interlink them with Palladian. Because they're very, very similar. And there's so many different species out there with ETs. It's hard to pin exactly which one you're connecting with. Just like grays, there's way too many different types of grays too.
I've heard up to like 40, yeah.
Now, the tall whites and the Palladians, I would say when it comes to our DNA, I would say we're more intermingled with that species, just because they're so similar to the human race. Just like the Nordics, that's where we come from.
Well, that's fascinating. Have you heard of Dolly Safran?
No.
Or Preston Dennett?
The Preston Dennett might sound familiar.
He's an author. He's one of the, I think he's the best alive personally right now, but great, outstanding researcher. Yeah, long story short, he brought this woman, Dolly, on, and Dolly Safran, she's amazing. And essentially what it was is Preston has written about 40 books in like 35 years. And most of them are like, hey, you know, here's a whole entire book about USOs, unidentified submersible objects like UFOs, but they're underwater. Or, you know, here's a story of 20 people's experiences with getting healed by the ET. But with Dolly, Symmetry, it's a book that just came out recently. I highly recommend it. It's probably like my favorite personally. Out of the 880, that's what he said. How many interviews have you done for all your books and stuff? he said that of all 880, Dolly's experiences were far and away the most insane. So that's the only book he ever wrote about a single person. Well, according to her, not only have we been on craft together, which when she said it, I was just like, that's a lofty claim. But, you know, the craft supposedly is conscious. It's has a consciousness and is controlled through consciousness. And according to Dolly, the ones that are really interested in our lineage, like I mentioned earlier, are the whites and tall whites and fully biological grays. So that's interesting that they seem to be, because Palladians, I mean, if that guy was telling the truth, Al, if Palladians were the ones who got out of the craft, I asked him, I was like, what do you think they were? He goes, Palladians, like immediately. I'm like, okay. And so that's fascinating. I didn't really realize that they look similar and that they kind of seem to be interested specifically in genetics. I was told that I'm hybridized myself. Yeah.
Well, and some say that Palladians aren't necessarily considered ET because they're from our star system.
Hmm. That's fascinating that too, because there was a man there. I wish I could remember his name. He was very smart. He knew all the solar systems, and he had this insanely powerful laser, and he was circling like, here's Palladia. And he did, you know, a handful. Here's the Big Dipper. But I thought that was fascinating that, you know, not long before that, he was circling Palladia, you know, with the laser pointer. So maybe there's something there. I'm not sure. So did you ever have any ET experiences?
Well, the first one I had was back in 2019, and that was more of a vision for me. All of mine have been more than vision, than an actual physical experience. And that one, I found myself on a craft with a gray, and it was female. I remember that specifically, or she felt female to me. And she started showing me that she told me that there's changes coming to her and that I needed to be ready and my family needed to be ready. And I said, okay. I said, you've got to protect my community. And she said, we will. She goes, but you just have to prepare yourself for the changes that are coming. And then she kind of gave me a timeline and she showed me that 2023, there was going to be big experiences and showed me that that was going to be like the year of ET, where the government started showing us that they do actually exist and letting us see that they're there, and that 2024 was going to be another big year, more like a pandemic, another pandemic type thing. And 2027 and 2029 were also going to be big years. And I didn't realize it at the time when she was showing me all that, that what she meant by that shift was COVID hitting. And then a couple months later, COVID hit. And then I started understanding what she was meaning and what she was showing me.
Mm. Yeah, that's fast. You're not the first experiencer who I've heard. I don't believe anybody on my show. You're for sure the first person on this to ever say that. But I mean, I listen to so many podcasts, read so many books and articles. It's hard to keep up with who's who. But somebody else said that they were being told that this essentially was going to happen, and it did. If you don't mind me prying, what were they saying about 27 and 29?
That is when the final shift happens. And so that's kind of one of my purposes is I truly feel if we can raise the vibration enough that tragic things won't happen. But it's all about that shift happening and raising enough of the vibration to get people to wake up and see. But I see, you know, volcanoes and devastation and not necessarily world end, but huge changes coming if we can't raise the vibration of the planet.
Mm. Yeah, that seems to be a common theme with all of our guests. They're all saying, a lot of experiencers are saying the same thing. Just like I mentioned that I honest to goodness, even before I believed in aliens, really, I just really felt like I was going to be living on Earth while something either changed drastically or who knows what. But that's fascinating. You're essentially confirming that speculation for me. So thank you. I'm trying to think. Did you have any questions for me? I had a couple more for you. I was going to try to aim for like no more than say an hour and 15 or an hour, whatever you have time for. But do you have any anything for me?
I don't.
That's okay. So I was mentioning earlier that I have, you know, I can at the very least, I'm a little bit empathic. I can tell when people have bad intentions and good. Are you picking up with me anything with me at all about just like empathic type things or not really?
I think you have a little bit of everything. It's just you're a little bit all over the place with it. Does that make sense? Where you get a smidgen of one and then you get a smidgen of another. You just don't know what to do with it. So it's almost like hone in on one and work on that one and everything else will open up. Because you have psychic gifts. It's just you got some blocks there too. It's almost seeing is believing, right?
Yeah.
And your psychic gifts have to come from your gut. You kind of just have to know it's right and not doubt anything else that's coming in. And the more you hold that in your gut, the more everything else flows. And everybody has those gifts. Some have bigger gifts than others. Like, you know, some people have, like, I'm clairaudience. Not clairaudience, but claircognizant. So all my information, that's why I channel. It comes right through my crown chakra. And so it's, I just tend to know things without really knowing how I know them or why I know them. So the biggest part of that gift really is just to trust what you get. I would definitely say strong empath only because you talk a lot about the depression, the bipolar. A lot of that is probably other energy you're bringing in. You just don't know what to do with it because you don't recognize what's yours and what doesn't belong to you. And sometimes that's the hardest part of the journey. When I first started opening up, it was difficult to know what was my emotions and what wasn't my emotions. I could be really happy and somebody could walk into the room really pissed off. And all of a sudden I'd be pissed off and not understand why. All of a sudden I was just in it. And that, it's like that. Like you don't get why you're all of a sudden feeling something out of no reason. It's, you know, so I would say one of your strongest is that empath. Feel things before they're coming.
Oh man, that's so interesting you say that, because that's, honest to God, that's the one I feel the strongest in. Number two, if I had to pick, if you forced me to pick one, I can never remember how it's pronounced. You just said it moments ago. Is it clairaudient?
Clairaudient. Yes, you hear.
Yeah. Yes, I do. You know, what specifically in that small group of 30 or 28, 30, I think we'll wrap here in maybe 5 more minutes. Is that okay? Okay. Yeah, I just don't want, I just don't want to keep people too long is all. But, like, yeah, even when I, you know, I was asking a lot. I was like, can you join us in this meditation? Can we hear your music? And then I said, can we hear your chanting? I was like, did anybody else get chanting? And to be perfect, if you made me, you know, here's $100, you got to give me $100 if you did or you didn't hear it, I wouldn't make that bet because I can't be certain. It was very indistinct. Extremely indistant, but nobody else heard it, so that made me go, oh, then it probably wasn't, you know. But the clairaudient, I'll tell you a quick 2-minute version of this. So typically for me, I'm never fully asleep. It's always like I'm laying down, I'm sleepy but I can't sleep. I'll start hearing stuff, and to me it almost sounds like a radio that's far away, but there's no radio. It sounds like there's a TV with two people communicating, but it's like too far away for me to understand it. And then the craziest one I've ever had, this happened a year, probably like 2 years ago. My grandma passed away and she's like the matriarch. Am I saying that right? The matriarch of our family. Not even close. When she passed, it was completely devastating. She used to live in Appalachia and she was like the beehive for a whole entire family, of course. And we're all extremely close. I've never met a family as close as ours. Incredibly affectionate and supportive of each other, even when we're not really killing it, you know what I mean? So but when she passed, being, you know, the only boy with 4 sisters, I felt like I had to be strong for them. And this happens a lot with young men. They'll just feel like, you know, you take it down the chin, you go to a funeral, you try not to cry, and then you say, hey guys, everything's gonna be okay, you know. That's what I was doing. And it went about 10 days to 2 weeks later, I broke down bad. Like I was working at a painting company. I was just having like breathing heavy. I, called my mom. I never do that. Called my mom and just was weeping, like ugly crying. And then I went home, you know, it was a hard enough day for physically working, but emotionally I was a wreck. And I went to lay down, you know, and I got home at like 3:30. My wife didn't get home till 5:30. And I was not asleep. I was laying on this bed behind me. And I'm getting there, but I'm certainly not sleeping. And then I hear distantly, at first my eyes were closed because I'm trying to fall asleep. I was not asleep. And it certainly wasn't a dream, but it sounded like a small group of people walking towards me. If I had a guess, I'd say 3 or 4. There was one male's voice I heard, 2 others in the back that were talking, but I couldn't understand what they were saying, and then a female. And it sounded like the man was on the left and the woman was on the right. And at first I just heard footsteps. I'm like, what is all this? And then I hear a little bit of chatter. And then it sounded like it was like 5-10 feet from my bed. And at this point I'm trying to get up, like, what is going on? And I can't. I don't have sleep paralysis. I never have. I've only had 2 times my whole life, when my grandfather on my dad's side, who was 1/4 Cherokee, I believe, when he sat on my bed in spirit twice, and twice in less than a week, right before I turned 21, I couldn't move. I don't know if they like take your energy when they get too close to you or something. And then on this time, I wanted to whip around and look who it was, but I couldn't. Whoa, somebody's behind you? Or what was that? Maybe a car. It was probably a car. Sorry. Yes, that's a street. Okay. It scared the shit out of me. But I'll wrap it up here. Basically, what it was, my family in the South, they don't say, this is my son, Jake. They say, this is my boy, Jake. You know what I mean? Oh, that's Charlie's boy, Bobby. You know what I mean? That's how they speak. And this man very clearly said, that's Tony's boy. Tony's my father. So, I mean, to me, I've always wondered, was that like my grandpa or some male in my family bringing my grandma, like, hey, everybody's okay. See, this is Jake. This is Tony's boy. And maybe they're just going all around everywhere. And like,
yeah. This family gathering around you. What I would do is I'd start practicing when you hear that, because I'll do that too. Because what's happening is when you're that half sleep state, that's when you're tapping into your consciousness. So when you relax, that's why everything's opening up. So practice when you hear that to tune into the empath part of you and to feel what's around you too. And go with the first impression that goes with your head and don't doubt it.
Mm. Go with your instincts.
The more you start to connect those two, the more it's going to start opening up. And then your third eye will start to open up. And then you'll start to see. It's like waking up the rest of the senses.
Mm. Well, thank you for that advice. Is there any other, first things first, what's the best way for people to find you if they want, you know, anything to do with what you can offer? What's the best way for anybody to contact you? Or?
Well, they can find me on Facebook, Mary Bassett. They can look up the Voices of Contact Facebook page, or if they're interested in regression work, they can reach out to Mama Mary Regressions at hotmail.com.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Mama Mary Regressions at hotmail.com.
Yeah, and all these links are going to be below, but I strongly encourage you guys to go out and reach out to her. She's really nice. It's not like you're going to reach out and she's not going to respond, you know. So
that's right.
Mary, I sincerely appreciate your time tonight, and you've just been wonderful to conversate with, and you educated myself and our listeners, and that's all the show is. I mean, you know, I appreciate the little bit of, you know, I just monetized it with this Patreon, you know, this week, but like, that's not why we're doing it. We're doing it because, you know, when I came out of the into the public, I, you know, I first like kind of ran it by my friends and family. They'd laugh me out of rooms, and it broke my heart. So this is just a platform for people to come on, share their stories, not be made fun of, and people like you who get to educate us. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh God, I almost had a heart attack. I wasn't sure if I hit record. That would have stunk if I forgot. So I'll reach out a little later via Facebook Messenger.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Mary. So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.